Hi again, this is World Pastor Tony Alamo. This is program number 526. If you'd like to have a copy of it, Sharon will tell you how at the end of the program. Please specify whether you want a CD or an audio tape. They're both free, including the postage and handling. I've got some Bible scriptures this evening for you. I've got letters. I've got music. And most of all, the Holy Spirit is going to visit you this evening. The Lord said he'd pour out his Spirit upon all flesh, and that's exactly what he's going to do to everyone in the listening audience. If you've never experienced hearing from the Holy Spirit before, you're going to hear from him tonight, this afternoon, this morning, whenever it is that you're listening. So I'm going to pray right now that the Lord will anoint this program. Everybody pray with me. Father, we thank and praise your holy name. Praising is our victory, because when we praise you, Father God, when we praise you, Lord Jesus, before the battle, we know that we're totally surrounded with Philistines. We know that there are people out in the world that are wanting, desiring to destroy us from off the face of this earth. But when we praise and thank you before we go into battle, and when we go to battle, that means we're calling on you, Lord God, to stop them. Destroy the devil that is in them. Bring them close to you, Father God, in the mighty name of Jesus. Destroy the destroyer. Father, destroy, rebuke Satan. Stop him in his tracks in the mighty name of Jesus, that souls could be saved and the church be strengthened in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. And everyone says amen. All right, now here's Jim Reeves to sing for you. This world is not my home.
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven. Open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have a loving mother just over in glory land, and I don't expect to stop until I shake her hand. She's waiting now for me in heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just over in glory land we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drip back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Yeah, no matter what kind of field you're in, if you want to be successful in that field, you have to be determined to do it. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 2, The Apostle Paul talking says, "For I determined not to know anything." In other words, there's nothing in this world that I want to know. I don't want to know anything among you save the Lord Jesus Christ and Him crucified. And this is what we're supposed to do. A lot of people don't believe that, but you will at the judgment bar of God. Now, the Word of God is something that we're going to be judging the entire world with. We're going to judge the very angels. It says, "For you to judge not with your own understanding, with your own judgment. But, oh, don't you know that the saints are to judge the world? And if the world is to be judged by you, you saints, not the people that call themselves Christians, but the ones that are real Christians, are you indignant to judge such little things as the Word of God?" We're going to be judged by the Word of God. That's what God is going to do. I have some letters today. Where's the first one from?
From Jaramillo, Mexico.
Okay, let me hear what they have to say.
"Dear Pastor Lamo, I am writing you this letter sending cordial greetings. I am very grateful to you for sending me your Christian literature and the Messiah books. A lot of people are thankful to you and me. However, there are also a lot of wicked people here in this world who do not wish to repent and don't want to receive Jesus as their Savior."
No kidding. Okay, then what?
"I distribute the literature to all the lost souls. I hope you will send me Bibles and Messiah books because people like to read this book. Please send me what you can so people can receive Christ. Thank you, Manuel from Jaramillo, Mexico."
Lord bless you, Manuel. We got that stuff, that information on the truck right now. All right, then what?
From Zambia, Africa.
I believe we send most of it airmail, though. Okay, then let me hear what they have to say in Zambia.
"Dear Spiritual Father, peace and love be with you in the marvelous name of our Lord and Master, Jesus Christ. I hope my humble letter will find you in the best health and in our Lord's blessings. Back to me, I am fine and I can't complain because God is in control. Man of God, we say thank you for the materials you have been sending to us. May the living God bless you for this work which you are doing. We received two boxes containing literature, Bibles, Messiah books, newsletters, and t-shirts. We have distributed all the literature. Pastor, we appreciate so much your work and love because we know that without love, you cannot do this for us. Spiritual Father, the truth has been revealed to many people here in Zambia in the town of Bala, and the number of members is multiplying every day, from 18 to 48 distributors of your literature. Many people are coming to me and asking for some more literature to distribute, and they are asking about where they can find this church called New Jerusalem. Pastor, I have submitted myself to do the work
right,
of God."
Our church is not New Jerusalem. It's just we are the New Jerusalem, which is the body of Christ, actually. And we will be at the marriage supper of the Lamb, the wedding supper. And because we are clothed with praises for the Lord here on this earth. If we're not praising Him here on this earth, it's unlikely that you would praise Him in the kingdom of heaven. And this is why the Lord tells us to judge by His word, because He completely tells us that if we learn of His word, it's in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 4 through 8. It would be impossible to renew them to repentance. It would be impossible. In the 10th chapter of Hebrews, it tells us that there's no more forgiveness of sins. All right? And this is very important to know because it's very apparent that we have to study the Word of God and believe what it says. We have to be determined to believe what it says. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 26, quote, "For if we sin voluntarily, after having received the knowledge of the truth, there will be no more sacrifices, no more forgiveness for sin." So you can't sin anymore because there won't be any more sacrifice for you. Amen?
Amen.
So this is important that it is a horrible thing, a horrendous thing to fall into the hands of the living God. So the Word tells us that He's living, and His Word is living, and His Word wants to live in you. Okay, so let's continue.
My goal is to raise, train, and empower people to reap the end-time harvest.
Okay, one thing that I must caution everybody to is that we shouldn't have any goal except to allow the Holy Spirit to place us in His body wherever it is that He wants us to be. Amen?
Amen.
It's really good to be soul-winning minded, but it's even better to just want to take the position in the body of Christ that the Lord wants you to be in. Amen?
Amen.
That's what the Word of God says. Because not everybody can preach like Peter or pray like Paul. Not everybody can do these things. But we know in the Bible that people have to wait on tables. To serve the saints, to cook the food for the saints, and hundreds of other things that we do for the saints. Some of us, the Lord has preached, but we can all give our testimonies, that's for sure. And we can all distribute literature. That's one thing that you can do. But seek rather to see exactly where it is that the Lord wants you to be placed in His body. All right, then what else?
Pastor, I am requesting you to send us 6 boxes of literature, Messiah books, videotapes, or VCD DVDs for Village Crusades and films to show at schools.
We'll send you everything that we have of that nature. All right, then what else? Because we want you to keep distributing literature there. That's what the Lord lets me know. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
I am requesting to come to your Bible college. I hope and trust that you have a Bible college there.
Well, the Bible College are the tapes. The Bible College is the Holy Spirit. The Lord just keeps everyone going one step at a time, one day at a time. Every day He delivers messages, and I thank and praise the Lord that He uses my mouth to do that with, so that people can stand another 24 hours.
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
One day at a time. One day at a time. Don't try to think of it as years. Because you don't know that you'll live another day. And so let's just do the best that the Lord wants to do in us. Let Him do the best that He wants to do in us one day at a time. In the morning, you know, to wake up praising the Lord and praising Him. And asking Him, you know, Lord, use me whatever way it is that you want to use me today. All right, then what else?
Pastor, that's my desire. After that, we are looking forward to having a church here, which we will be calling New Jerusalem Christian Ministry. You are my Father in the Lord, and we would like to join you in your ministry so that we can develop God's kingdom and spread the word of God to unreached souls here in Zambia. Glory be to God, the Most High King, for the work which you are doing in the world. May the living God grant you His divine grace and power as you continue to expand the word of God.
I just give all the glory to the Lord because it's Him actually doing it, because I know that if I don't do what He tells me by the Holy Spirit every day, that I'll be a castaway. There'll be no repentance for me at all, because I know what I'm supposed to do. And that's what you want to do. And every single person in the body of Christ, seek what it is that the Lord wants you to do on a daily basis. One thing that He wants to do with the recent messages that I've given is that He wants you to be filled continuously with praises for Him. Because once you see the whole picture of who God is and what He is, when you see the kingdom of heaven, you won't be able to do anything else but praise Him. It won't be any effort at all. It just rolls out of you, because people have only a glimpse of glory in this world. I've had a glimpse of glory, and those of you that are seeking the Lord, He'll give you that glimpse as well. But we have so much more to look forward to when we actually see Him on a continuous basis. I saw Him for just a few seconds, just as clear as I can, as ever I could see. And I mean, I could see Him that clear. in a very dark room. It was so bright. And just think to be able, and he, but he left too soon. I wanted to be with him. I knew he was in me, but I wanted to be with him right there all the time around him, because he's so wonderful. And I knew that he didn't hate me. I know that he actually was warning me to get into the Word so that I could be used full to him in these last days. So just, you know, seek. And therefore, I wasn't really seeking for any position when I was first saved. I didn't want to be a preacher. I didn't want to be a teacher. I didn't want to be, I just was happy to be saved. All right? And the Lord knew that. Anyone that really wants to be a big-time preacher, to be a Moses or somebody like that, I don't think the Lord really makes him that way. Like, if you'll remember that Moses was arguing with the Lord when he wanted him to go and preach, when he wanted him to go to Pharaoh and tell him to let my people go. And me, he was gentle on me. He saved my soul. He told me to tell the people in the room that that the Lord was coming back to earth again, that he was coming back soon. And that was very hard enough for me to do, because I was bickering with him on that. I did not want to tell people that. But then when he started pulling the breath out of me back and forth, and my heart started beating very hard, anything you want me to do, I'll do. And so I started telling them. And ever since he did that to me, I've just been wanting to tell everybody. And I don't hold any punches back, folks. If you really want to know the truth, you tune in here every day. Because there's very little truth, complete truth, on the face of this earth. Amen. All right? And you'll hear it on this program. Amen. Okay, go ahead. Finish.
Thanks in advance that you will not fail my request. May the living God bless you, your family, and the entire body of Christ Jesus. Glory to God, yours in Christ, Emmanuel, from Bala, Zambia, Africa.
Okay, so that's it, I reckon. Amen. Okay, well, I'm doing a series on praising of the Lord and how important it is to praise the Lord without ceasing on a continuous basis. The Lord Jesus Christ is the kingdom of heaven. So the Lord Jesus Christ as the kingdom of heaven, it must be received in us as a little child, a little infant, because their praises are for real. When a little child is praising the Lord, you know there's not a phony thing in them. You can see people saying, praise the Lord. Oh, praise the Lord. And so on. You can tell there's like a, I don't feel the spirit, but when a little kid, a little baby says, praise the Lord, I know that's for real.
Amen.
But that's what we must become, is like little infants, because our life is done away with when we accept the Lord Jesus Christ, or the kingdom of heaven, into our spirit as a little infant. And so we're dead now. We've got the spirit, or the kingdom of heaven, in our spirit. And so our old life is all done away with. It's we have this new life in us, and the Lord wants us to build on that new life. We were born once of man, but this is born again of God. Born again of the Holy Spirit. And so the praises of people that are just freshly born with the kingdom of heaven in them is for real. You can really tell it. But there's a lot of old codgers that, you know, they've been in ministry for years, and they're just somehow got hardened. They're not sensitive to the Holy Spirit. And they sit around thinking that they're somebody. And, you know, when you look at them, you can just tell that there's no kindred spirit there. But then when you see a new Christian really born again of the Spirit, you can tell, you know, that this person is really saved. There's a kindred spirit. Sue would take me around to the different churches, and I could tell people that were really saved, and there was very few in most of the churches I went to. I didn't recognize any of them. But in some churches, like Angelus Temple, And there would be people in there. Some people would be so fiercely jealous of some of the preachers that would be preaching there because they were so powerful, some of them. Like Robert Aguirre and Robert Fierro and a man named Oglethorpe. They had some good preachers back then. And of course, some of them are dead now. But you could tell that the Holy Spirit was in them, and God used them in mighty ways because there were great revivals where the dead was actually raised up, and there was huge stacks of crutches. This all was happening in Mexico. And the reason that God was so gracious to them in regards to these miracles, the many miracles that he was performing, he was doing it because of the false doctrine, the Catholic doctrine that there was. And Robert Aguirre would be in there preaching. And he says, because Robert Aguirre was actually trying to get a revival going. And so there was this great preacher of the gospel in Mexico. And he was on his way there to do the revival. And what the government did is rose up and put him in jail. And it was the same day that the revival was going to be there. And Robert Aguirre was asking the Lord, oh, he was weeping before the Lord. He was crying out. He says, oh, Father, oh, Jesus, what can I do? He says, you know, Senior so-and-so is in jail, and I can't, what am I going to do? And all these people, a million and a half people are coming to hear him speak. And he says that he looked up and the Lord was standing in the room right there with him. And he says, Lord, he says, what can I do? And he says, you do the preaching. He says, but he's a healer. I mean, when he preaches, people get healed. And I'm not really that good of a preacher. Jesus told him, he says, you do the preaching and I'll do the healing. Amen.
Amen.
That was such a good testimony to me. And I was so blessed to have been there when he gave that testimony. And it was through him that I received the baptism of the Holy Spirit during his preaching. He was the most powerful preacher that they had. And yet everybody was so jealous, and you'd have to sit there for hours when they had their revivals and hear one preacher after the other that was just had nothing in the Lord. And then finally he'd get up and he'd start praising the Lord. Oh, Father God, Almighty God. And you'd feel the Spirit of the living God come down upon the entire church. Praise your holy name. And he'd praise the Lord for 3, 4, or 5 minutes at a time. And the Holy Spirit would be there. And then this Spirit of God would start coming right through him. And I'm telling you, he was just a fantastic. You could tell that the Lord was really using him. So he preached that day, and here all these hundreds, he said, I could see Jesus moving around the crowd. And he said, I'd be just preaching away, telling them about the healing and everything. And the people would say, I can see, I can see, I can walk. And they'd throw their crutches in these piles, and it was just wonderful. And he could actually see the Lord moving about, just touching this one and that one. And there was so many people healed there, he said that it was just nobody even tried to count. And then he said there was 6 people that were bringing a coffin in there, and they opened it up. And he said, oh, Father God, raise this brother up in the name of Jesus. And this man would sit up in the coffin and get up. And everybody got slain under the power because they were seeing such a magnificent display of Christ working with the Father and the Holy Spirit in that meeting. And here the other guy was locked up in jail. Praise the Lord. Amen?
Amen.
So their praises are for real, the little babes. People that believe. Okay, you couldn't tell people that don't believe. Jesus said to the Pharisees, who were actually criticizing the praising when the children were praising the Lord, when Jesus came riding into Jerusalem on a donkey. And they were rebuking Jesus. And yea, he says, have ye never read out of the mouth of babes and sucklings, thou shalt hast perfected praise. Praise. It's perfect praise from a child. Amen?
Amen.
Oh, yeah, and you got some hardened animals sitting in churches around it. Just give people dirty looks when they do that. This was in Matthew. It's in Matthew chapter 21, verse 16. This is why we must teach the little ones to praise the Lord, even from the crib. To see a baby praise the Lord is a very beautiful sight. The poor people need to praise the Lord. The poor and needy are exhorted to praise the Lord. Quote, let the poor and needy praise thy name. That's in Psalms 74, verse 21. Read it.
Oh, let not the oppressed return ashamed. Let the poor and needy praise thy name.
Right. Why should the poor and needy praise thy name? Because the Lord is going to give you victory over poverty. Amen?
Amen.
And your needs will be fulfilled. So more than anyone, the poor and the needy should praise the Lord. When you praise the Lord, God begins to multiply that which you have, and you will be amazed at how he can do it. The Lord can really provide for you far more than you have any idea. The Lord is God, and it's just amazing how he does it. I know we started out, I gave everything that I had away. I even threw my scrapbooks where I did different promotions and stuff, and Susie told me to keep it. In my ministry, in the beginning, we have seen the Lord come forth many times, so many times, in very mighty victories. To this very day, we see victories is because we praise and thank the Lord. We see the Philistines surrounding us all over the place, and we know that they're doing their utmost to destroy us, but if God be with us, who could be against us? Amen?
Amen.
And so God is with us if he sees we have faith enough to know and believe that if we praise and thank him for the victory, that the victory will be ours. I've never seen in the Bible anyone that had faith, that kind of faith, I've never ever seen them destroyed. But I've always seen them be on the top of the heap. Amen?
Amen.
Praise the Lord. So never doubt, always have praises and thanks for the Lord. So to this very day, there's so many enemies around us that we praise and thank the Lord and we see them die. We see them, become invalids. We see them put in mental hospitals. And, we didn't cause that. They caused it to themselves. Amen?
Amen?
Because how do you try to stop the mouth of a person that God is using to preach the gospel? I mean, you're trying to stop my mouth? You ought to be out of your mind because Amen. The mouth that God is using is my mouth.
Amen.
All right? And if you're trying to stop his mouth, you're going to be stopped. He'll stop you. Mm-hmm. And believe you me when I tell you, there's many people that have dropped dead everywhere I go because people, they don't like the way that I look and they believe all kinds of false things about me as they did Christ, the Apostle Paul, and all the other apostles, and even the prophets. And the Lord showed that he was with them. Amen?
Amen.
And, the entire United Nations and the whole United Nations is against me. Do you think that they're more than my God? You're out of your mind if you think that. You're crazy. All right? And God's going to show you, folks. Hallelujah. Even when I was in prison, I told him, you can't kill me because I know that there's prophecies in the Bible that are pertaining to me, and it hasn't happened yet. So you killers, you murderers, you Muslims, all you people in here, you Nazi skinheads, all you kind of people, you can't do that to me because God will kill you. He'll drop you dead. Okay, and so here I am still alive 10 years later. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, as the responsibilities of the great missionary ministry of the time that we're living in, which is the end time. This is the end time, folks. We are the servants of the Lord and the handmaidens as well. They grow greater and more determined. And remember, we can't be anything in the Lord unless we're determined to be something in the Lord. I continually can say that I see supply for our ministry keep coming in as I praise the Lord. We're able to stay on the air because the supply to pay these radio stations, the money comes in. The Lord doesn't want me to pay people that are different attorneys that are doing us evil. They want to take all your money, and then and we have enough money to get on the air and to feed and clothe and house everybody and to pass and distribute lots of literature. And we have our mouths and the Spirit of God in us to praise. Praise opens the windows of heaven, and praise opens the coffers in the kingdom of heaven. Coffers is a place where you store gold and silver and diamonds and all kinds of jewels. So the praise opens up those coffers in the kingdom of heaven and pours them out unto us from God's storehouse. Exactly. And even more than we need. We've got storehouses that are so jam-packed full of things. And the people from overseas, they want clothes. I tell them, you know, clean out these warehouses. Get those clothes all cleaned and folded up and put in boxes and get them over there for these people. This is why the Lord especially tells the poor and needy to praise and thank the Lord. They need to praise Him even more than the rich. Most of, and the rich really need to praise Him too. Most of the time, the rich are not at all satisfied because they don't have the Lord. I'm not saying that all people that are rich don't have the Lord, but you don't really see that many that are dedicated, devoted, that are willing to preach the entire Word of God. Name one, if you can. Amen?
Amen.
You know who the rich people are in this world with the deep pockets. You don't see Mr. Toyota or any of these guys pulling money out to support the ministry. But the poor really need to thank and praise the Lord all the time because He is the source of their supply, their needs. You have to be supplied all the time, every day. Give us this day our daily bread, amen? And I'm not kidding when I pray that. Lord, give us this day our daily bread. Give us enough finances to help people to be on the air. The Bible, the Word of God, is crammed, packed, full of testimonies of the victorious people, the victories that were won through praise. So we need to take a little time out to study some of these victories that were won by praise. This is important for us to know so that our faith will be increased. Yeah, we all start out with the same portion of faith, but faith, more and more faith, cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So do you want increased faith? Do you?
Yes.
Well, then read the Word of God, everybody. We know in the Scriptures, the man said, increase my faith. Increase my belief. The way that faith is increased comes by reading these testimonies, by reading the Word of God. that which is founded on the Word of God is absolutely reliable. You can trust it, absolutely. It is not enough to praise the Lord because someone tells you to. You must know that it is in the Word of God and that it is reliable. Now take, for instance, King David. We'll talk about him for a while. David was the greatest praiser in all history. Perhaps that is why, in spite of his two sins that he committed, and those, they were very great, absolutely big sins and terrible. The Lord called him a man after his own heart, Acts chapter 13, verse 22. Read.
He, God, raised up unto them David to be their king, to whom also he gave testimony, and said, I have found David, the son of Jesse, a man after mine own heart, which shall fulfill all my will.
Now, I'm not saying that you can sin, because people that are sinning today, they're not praising and thanking the Lord. And besides, in those days and times where David was living, the Lord Jesus was not yet crucified, risen, and ascended into the kingdom of heaven. Nor had he come down into people's hearts because he became the life-giving Spirit. He didn't come back in the heart into people's hearts with the Father and by the Holy Spirit. This is all the New Testament. So we have no excuse anymore. No excuse whatsoever, because it is impossible now. If we sin voluntarily after having received the knowledge of the truth, the Word of God, there will be no more sacrifice for more sins. So we have to keep ourselves holy by praising and thanking the Lord and walking in the Spirit. When you praise the Lord, what it is you come very close to the Lord. The Bible says that the Lord inhabits the praises of his people. Psalms 22, verse 3.
But thou art holy, O thou that inhabitest the praises of Israel.
Right, and the Israel are those of us that are born again, believers in Christ, for the Lord is living in us. The Bible says not all Israel is Israel, and if the people that are Israelites don't have Christ living in them, then they're not Israelites. They have to be saved. We have to be born one more time of the Spirit this time. That means that God comes down and lives in the heart, the Spirit of the one who praises him and calls on him and communicates with him. This is why in the Old Testament the Lord did come down and live in David, because he was always in praise. He was always praising him, the Lord. Don't you want God to live in your heart and your spirit, to live in your inside you? Then first ask him to come in and cleanse you from all your former sins and go and sin no more. Then open your heart and your mouth to praise him and worship him, so that you can make a gate in the wall around your heart for him to come in and live with you on a continuous basis. Now let's speak about Daniel, the book of Daniel. Daniel, and you can read this is Bible, was facing execution along with all the other wise men of Babylon. Now wise means that they feared God and kept his commandments, because that's the whole duty of man. So he was facing execution along with the other wise men of Babylon, but what did he do? What Daniel did was He did what we must do if there is trouble surrounding us. He went to God alone. Just he himself went up to God and sought the Lord for a revelation of his secrets, so that the lives of all the great people could be saved, could be spared. God revealed the forgotten dream of King Nebuchadnezzar. Nebuchadnezzar had this dream and he forgot what it was, and he wanted people to tell him, somebody to tell him what it was. And Daniel praised the Lord and said, I thank thee and praise thee, O thou God of my fathers, who has given me wisdom and might. Why is it might? Nothing could have delivered Daniel or those wise men if he wasn't given the revelation of the hidden dream that the king had. So that was the mighty thing that delivered him, is the wisdom and the might. The Lord gave him wisdom and might, and has made known unto me now what we desired of thee. For thou hast now made known unto us the king's matter. That's Daniel 2:23. Daniel set such a powerful example of praising God to Nebuchadnezzar that later, when Nebuchadnezzar was delivered of the evil spirit that had changed his nature into that of a wild beast and driven him into the wilderness for 7 years, he too praised the Lord, even King Nebuchadnezzar. God turned him into a wild animal, the nature of a wild animal, where he sat on his hands and knees, grazing out in the field, eating grass, just like oxen or cattle. Now here's what Nebuchadnezzar said after this happened. Now I, Nebuchadnezzar, praise and extol the honor, the King of Heaven. Honor to the King of Heaven, all whose works are truth and his ways true judgment. And those that walk in pride, he is able to abase. Daniel 4:37. Abase means that he changed this king's very nature from being a human being to being like an animal. Some people skip over the queen, Athaliah, the demon-possessed and devil-controlled people hate as Queen Athaliah to hear anyone praise the Lord. She hated it. And there's people in churches today that hate that. The Bible shows us that when the wicked Queen Athaliah heard the noise of the people running and praising, she came to the temple to see what was going on. The Bible tells us that when she saw the people standing and praising God in his house, she, quote, rent her clothes and screamed out, treason, treason, you old bag, you old witch. That's 2 Kings 11:13-14. Go ahead and read it.
And when Athaliah heard the noise of the guard and of the people, she came to the people into the temple of the Lord. And when she looked, behold, the king stood by a pillar, as the manner was, and the princes and the trumpeters by the king, and all the people of the land rejoiced and blew with trumpets. And Athaliah rent her clothes and cried, treason, treason.
Oh, yeah. It was treason, all right. It is treason to the devil. That's what you want to do, is the Lord is more powerful than the devil. The devil is just originally was a creation of the Lord, and then he rose up that he was powerful, you know, like God. But of course, God is more powerful than any of his creation all put together. When you praise the Lord, beloved, so always be a person that brings forth treason to the devil by praising the Lord. He knows it's your victory. That's what he knows. So we can take the example also of Ezra. When the children of Israel came back to Jerusalem after the 70 years of captivity, they were put in captivity because the Lord made them captives because they would not honor the Sabbath for 70 years. After they got back to Jerusalem after 70 years of captivity, they found their city in ruins. That was Jerusalem. The walls were broken down. The palaces of the great man were destroyed, and the temple in the was in rubbles. It was in ruin. It was a disheartening thing for them to see. It was so disheartening for them. What did they do, though? Did they give up and have a wailing at the wailing wall, like you see a lot of these Jews? Why should they wail? He rose from the dead, amen? Yeah. The Messiah was here. He fulfilled all the 333 or more prophecies. And then he sent it into heaven, and now he sends his Holy Spirit down into people that want to be saved. There's nothing to wail about. So they didn't go to the wailing wall, or they didn't wail at all. Or do any thing this type, or a meeting or wailing party. No, the word tells us that they rose up to build the foundation of the temple. And they did it in a spirit of praise to God. Quote, after the ordinance of David, king of Israel, unquote. It says, quote, and all the people shouted with a great shout when they praised the Lord because the foundation of the house of the Lord was laid. But many of the priests and Levites and chief of the fathers who were ancient men that had seen the first house of God, when the foundation of this house was laid before their eyes, wept with a loud voice, and many shouted aloud for joy, so that the people could not discern the noise of the shout of joy from the noise of the weeping of the people. For the people shouted with a loud shout, and the noise was heard afar off. That's Ezra chapter 3, verse 10 through 13. And I'll just go on from here because time is short. It was also this same shout when the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost that brought the crowd from every nation. We have lost our shout of praise in a lot of even true Pentecostal churches. You don't hear any praise at all in them. It's like a tomb or a morgue. What it is a lot of show in many churches. We have lost it because we do not have praise and gratitude in our hearts for what the Lord is doing and has done. He, first of all, saved our souls. We were in ruins, and he saved our souls, and he resurrected us from the dead life to the life that is the living life, the eternal life. Will we have to go into captivity to be able to appreciate all that the Lord has done for us? I pray not. Now the angels also praise the Lord. On the night that the Savior was born in Bethlehem of Judea, the heavens were full of angels who were praising the Lord with great joy. And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, goodwill toward men." That's Luke 2:13-14. You can mark it down. The angels set us a pattern of how to praise the Lord the heavenly way. Praise must be joyous and not just mouths talking. It must be joyous and happy and from the heart. Spontaneous and glorious. It must not be something that we do because we feel we should, in order to impress the others in the congregation. You know, and we're not supposed to tell people, "All right, now everybody praise the Lord," because that should be spontaneous. Mm-hmm. It should come out of your heart right away. Amen?
Amen.
Required of us, that there's no reason for it, but because we want to, we must not told to do it. We do it because we know these scriptures and we know that it's our victory because the Lord God moved on us to do so. You ever been moved by the Holy Spirit to praise and thank the Lord?
Amen.
The shepherds praised the Lord. You can find all this in the scriptures. The shepherds were not slow at all in learning the lesson of praising the Lord. When they had visited the manger scene, they, returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard, not only heard, but seen as it was told unto them. That's Luke 2:20. Well, I see my time is up, but I'm going to continue this tomorrow. Amen. If you're liking this, amen.
Amen.
Because this is instructions on your victory. Right now, we have victory for you also by receiving the Lamb of God, the Spirit of praise in you, the kingdom of heaven, to receive it like a little baby. So the way you do that is just say this prayer. Say, "My Lord and my God, have mercy upon my soul, a sinner. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of the living God, and I believe that he died on the cross and shed his precious blood for the forgiveness of all my former filthy sins. And I believe that you, Father, raised Jesus from the dead by the power of the Holy Spirit. I open the door of my heart and I invite you into my heart, Lord Jesus. Wash all my former filthy sins away in the precious blood that you shed for me. You will not turn me away, Lord Jesus. You will save my soul. I know because your word says so, and you never, ever lie. You never, ever say something and not mean it. Therefore, I know that you have heard me, and I know that you have answered me, and I know that I'm saved. Now just praise and thank the Lord for salvation. And also, Sharon, tell them how in Radio Land how they can receive a copy of this program, number 526.
Go to alamoministries.com or write to Tony Alamo Christian Ministries, P.O. Box 6467, Texarkana, Texas, 75505, or call area code 479-782-7370. That's 479-782-7370. Or fax to area code 479-782-7406.
Praise the Lord. And here's one of my very favorite singers, Jim Reeves, to sing for you again. How long has it been?
How long has it been since you talked with the Lord and told him your heart's hidden secrets? How long since you prayed, How long since you stayed on your knees till the light shone through? How long has it been since your mind felt at ease? How long since your heart knew no burden? Can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared for you? How long has it been since you knelt by your bed and prayed to the Lord up in heaven? How long since you knew that he'd answer you and would keep you the long night through? Since you woke with the dawn and felt this day is worth living, can you call him your friend? How long has it been since you knew that he cared?